Luke chapter 13. Gospel of Luke chapter 13. Glad to see you all here tonight. Thank you for coming. Extend, as usual, a warm welcome to you. Remember, the meeting's continuing each night throughout the week except Saturday at 8 o'clock. All are welcome. We hope to see you all back again, if possible. Prayer meeting each night, preceding and following the gospel meeting. We appreciate all that come to help in prayer. Remember these meetings in the will of the Lord. Luke chapter 13, and let us read from verse 28:2. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The days when the Lord Jesus was on earth, people were just as curious as they are now. As he was journeying toward Jerusalem on this occasion, and we believe his last journey there, there were some that asked him, Lord, are there few that be saved? A lot of people still are asking and wondering how many are going to be saved. I've had people ask me more than once, what about the heathen? Those that have never heard the gospel, that have lived and died in heathen darkness, what's going to become of them? I can only answer and say in the language of the Old Testament scriptures, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Again, I've had people ask me about the Jews that have been set aside by God judicially because of the rejection of Christ and of the gospel that followed his resurrection, and they're left in darkness, blinded judicially by God. What's going to become of them? Well, we can only say in the language of the Word of God that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we believe that every man, whether Jew or Gentile, whoever he may be, that has not been born again by the Spirit of God, will never enter God's heaven. Are there few that be saved? This may be a question in the mind of some in our gathering this evening. How many are going to be saved? If we turn to the corresponding passage in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus there speaks along the same line, and he brings before us two roads, two gates, two roads, and two destinies. And he says that because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. So the Lord Jesus himself answered the question, are there a few that be saved? The answer is yes. Right down through the ages, in the things of God, the majority have not been in the right. The days of Noah, there were about 8 of the seething population of that day that had entered into the ark. Today, while the vast majority of men and women are in a measure religious, and all are hoping sooner or later to be in heaven. My experience, I found very few people that I've been in contact with, but that in some way or another, at some time or another, hope to be in heaven. But the Bible is very clear in this, that there really are few that get saved. The great majority, sad to say, are perishing in their sins. The question might arise, and we might present it to you tonight, are you going to be among the few that enter in? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So the Lord Jesus answered the question of this inquirer by strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Revised gives that by the narrow door. I seem to be consistent with what follows. Now the first thing I want you to note here in this passage is the fact that these to whom he was speaking were outside the door. That's very evident. Because he said, strive to enter in. He was speaking to people that were on the outside of salvation's door. Outside the kingdom of God. He exhorts them to strive to enter in. Because the time will come when they'll not be able to do so. Now the question might arise in some mind, where and how did men and women get on the outside? We make it very clear, and we impress it upon our hearers again tonight, that we are all born sinners, born on the outside of the door. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, you remember the story well, I'm sure, that God drove a man and woman out of the garden and put a flaming sword, a cherubim with flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life. Man, because of his sin, separated from God, God must drive him out of the Garden of Eden, outside that pale of a relationship and fellowship with God. And all the posterity of Adam, from then right till the last person born, was born outside the kingdom of God. Man by nature is corrupt. Man by nature is an enemy of God. Man by nature is a sinner. And man is born on the outside and he lives on the outside. He came into the world on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. And as he travels through the scene of earth, his is a downward course, traveling the broad road that'll empty all its travelers eventually into everlasting destruction. If you think tonight that you are on the inside of the narrow door, let me ask you, when did you enter in? There is a great question. Let us try to get this clearly before your mind on the authority of the Word of God, that every one of us by nature were born outside the kingdom of God. That's why the Lord Jesus in John 3 said to Nicodemus long ago, except a man be born again, he cannot see nor can he enter the kingdom of God. Man is in the outside place, there by nature, and he's there by practice, a sinner outside the pale of a relationship with God. In the outside place, as in the days of Noah, the vast majority of men were on the outside of the ark. This is something that people don't like to think about. The majority of people like to think that they're quite all right for heaven, if they put their name on a church roll and do nobody any harm, as they say, live do the best they can, live religiously, live honestly, and be a good neighbor, and so on. They seem to feel that if they follow that path, they're quite all right for heaven. Is that correct? According to the Word of God, we must say definitely no. Man is in the downward course by nature, outside the kingdom of God. Many seem to think that if they don't step over the bounds of morality, and if they don't murder anybody, if they're not a thug or a thief or a robber, that they're quite all right for heaven. My friend, let us get it clearly before you tonight, that we all by nature are born outside the kingdom of God, in the outside place. That's why the Savior said, strive to enter in. Had we been on the outside and quite safe, he never would utter those words. And I hope everyone in our gathering tonight unsaved will learn if never before, that as you sit in this meeting, you're outside the kingdom of God. In your sins, under the wrath of God, exposed to divine punishment, your condition tonight, dear friend, is serious. Whether you've ever taken it in or not, whether you like it or not, there's the truth of God, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is no difference. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, because that all have sinned. So the Lord Jesus said on this occasion, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I think of that word, strive. A very strong word. We have it used by Paul in connection with those that strive for the masteries, bringing before us men that might be contending in a race. Many years ago in Virginia, in a hot summer afternoon, a Lord's Day afternoon, we were going down to do some visiting where we had a tent pitched and holding meetings. As we went from Petersburg to Hopewell, about 8 miles, we passed a young man. His sandals or something like that on his feet, and he had only shorts on, and he was running. You see, a lot of those fellows today, jogging as they call it, but this man was running a race. He was stripped as far, and everything that might impede his progress was laid to one side. There was a goal before him, and he was striving with all the power of his being to attain to that goal, whatever it was. That man was striving. And when men contend in the games, whatever they may be, whether running a race or in a boxing match, whatever, they're striving, putting forth every effort. Every nerve is tense. They're striving for the goal. In connection with God's salvation, let me tell you kindly, if you ever expect to enter in through the street, this narrow door into the kingdom of God, there must be some effort on your part. Not that you can do anything to put your sins away, but this word demands earnestness on your part and seriousness on your part and some move on your part. You can sit where you are tonight careless and unconcerned about your soul, and you can slip on down the broad road that leads to destruction and lose your soul and perish and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Strive to enter into the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. A man told me one time that he sat in a railway station. He had his ticket. He was waiting for the train. He was busy reading, and the train came in, and the train went out, and finally he woke up to the fact the train had gone, and they were sitting in the waiting room of the station. There are some people who have the idea that if they're going to get saved, why, they will get saved regardless. This passage doesn't teach that. That man had the ticket. That man could have gone, but he had to put himself on the train. God has provided a way of salvation for you, my friend, but you must avail yourself of it. You must come to the Savior and receive Him, acknowledging your guilt and sin before Him. You'll never get saved just drifting on as you're doing tonight. The old proverb is, the road of by and by leads to the town of never, and people seem to get the idea. If they're going to get saved, all they need to do is just drift along, and God will work a miracle someday, and they'll enter in whether they want to or not. No such thing according to the word of God. Strive to enter in at the straight gate that indicates, as already emphasized, that you're outside the door. And unless you put forth some effort to get inside, saved in Christ, you can perish on the outside of the door. I must, ere I leave this part of the passage, try to impress upon you the glorious fact that the door is open. Sometimes we sing, the door is open wide, step right inside and thou shalt be saved. The door into the kingdom of God was open, and it's wide open, not merely ajar. Thank God we can proclaim a gospel tonight, free and full unto all and upon all them that believe is God's righteousness. for Christ himself on Calvary, who said, I am the door. And again he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He opened the door when he hung on dark Calvary long ago. By the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life, a sacrifice that met the righteous requirements of the throne of God. The door is open. We thank God that the door of salvation is open. A marvelous thing that people can be saved, I marvel. And it bows my heart in appreciation and gratitude when I think the great pains to which God went and the length to which he went to bring salvation to perishing men and women. He sent his son down past the angelic host. Many of them that had sinned and are consigned to the outer darkness in the vaults of eternal despair. God sent his son down past angels to men upon this globe of earth. Sinners against him, deserving only wrath and judgment. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the door. And the door is open, procured by suffering and death on Calvary. Nothing remains for the sinner to do but to enter in. Men go to theaters, other places of entertainment. They have to pay an admission fee. Sometimes it's quite a sum. And in these clubs that men join and enjoy seemingly, and spend a lot of time there in various ways, they pay a heavy fee for those clubs, membership in those clubs. But I want to tell you tonight that there is no fee entering into God's salvation. The door is open. The invitation is come. And whosoever will let him come and take of the water of life freely. God is presenting to you a salvation free and full. Nothing to pay. And you don't have to work for it. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we thank God for an open door. But I want to tell you as well that there's only one door. Not a variety of ways to heaven. I heard people say, you take your way, that's what you think. I'll take my way, the way that I think best. And another fellow, he says, I'll take my way, and as long as they're sincere and all aiming for the same point, eventually we'll all arrive at the same place. Again, I quote the words of our Lord Jesus. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And I quote again from John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, but the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let us turn our thoughts for a minute or two back to Genesis 6 and 7 and think of the ark. In that day men had sinned as they're doing today. And the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Wickedness corrupted the earth. Violence filled the earth in that day. There was violence and corruption, and it all originated in the heart of men. Man had corrupted God's way upon earth. People talk about environment. When man was placed in the Garden of Eden, he had the most blessed environment possible from the hand of God. He spoiled his own, the environment God placed him in by his sin against God. Man makes his own environment. If environment isn't the cause of all the corruption and sin and vice, all that originates in the heart of man, and the undesirable environment that we have in the world today is the result of man's own sin. He's made his own environment by sin against God. In the days of Noah, the judgment was pronounced. And the ark was prepared according to God's specifications. And there was one door in that ark. And men were all on the outside of that ark when it was completed. Every last one. God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark.
Noah believed God. He was a preacher of righteousness. He walked with God. He entered into the ark and his family with him. All the rest were outside. Outside that door of the ark, there was pleasure, there was amusement, there was prosperity, they were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and everything was going on as usual until the flood came, and they knew not until the flood came and destroyed them all. The time came when the door closed. Let me tell you, dear unsaved, tonight, outside the kingdom of God, outside this door we're speaking of, the devil will give you all sort of entertainment. He'll give you everything in the world that your heart desires, except happiness. For there's no happiness, real happiness, apart from Christ and his salvation. But outside the door, you can have pleasure. You can have sin. You can have evil companionship. You can have everything that your heart goes in for, prosperity and all that. God will give it to you. And the devil will do his best to keep you satisfied. But I want to tell you, they sported outside the ark. But the day came when that ark door was closed. God shut the door. And the flood came in all its intensity, and every soul outside the ark perished under the righteous judgment of God. So it will be again. Not with flood of waters as before. But judgment is coming, all will be there. Outside the door, there's danger. Outside the door, catastrophe will overtake you. The awful tragedy of being left outside the door may overtake some of you tonight, for the Lord may come. The door is going to close. God's long-suffering in the days of Noah came to an end. And God shut the door. And when that door was shut, those inside were absolutely safe. All those outside the door perished. Now the door of salvation is going to close. The master of the house will rise up and shut to the door. When will that take place? Possibly tonight. We don't know. The Lord Jesus is coming again. The glorious hope of every child of God that knows the truth. Jesus is coming. Sing the glad word, coming for those who are redeemed by his blood. When he comes and the church has gone home to heaven, the door will close. Men outside will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now I don't know. We're not told. But knowing human nature as I know, I wonder if, when the door of the ark closed, that there may not have been men realizing at last, too late, that judgment is coming, try to get inside the door. I doubt not they went and they knocked loudly and called to Noah to let them in. I'm assuming on my imagination, knowing human nature as I do. They may have sought to enter in, but the door was closed. This passage tells us that when the Lord Jesus comes and the door of salvation is closed, that men will stand without and they'll knock at the door. They'll seek to enter in and they shall not be able. Young man in the meeting tonight, unsaved, can you imagine? Try to visualize if you can. Try to enter into the reality of what it would be like if the Lord were to come tonight. And the door is closed and loved ones are gone home to heaven and you're left behind. Left for coming judgment, left for the sinner's doom. Left outside a shut door. A number of years ago, some of you may remember that back in Nova Scotia in the mining town of Spring Hill, there were two mine disasters. One of them worse than the first. And worse than the other. One of those disasters, explosion in the mine, a heavy loss of life. A man with the same name as mine perished. I didn't know him well. But one section of that mine, it was filled with gas after the explosion. Those in authority concluded that it'd be absolutely impossible for anybody to survive
in that section of the mine, Allah knew there were men working in there. And so to expedite the rescue of those that they thought still could be rescued, they ordered a concrete block wall to build across that portal into that area of the mine. It is built. Time came when the rescue efforts were over, and to get the mine open again, they removed that wall, and to their horror they found a number of men lying dead just inside the wall. Those dear men, in absolute darkness, feeling their way out through the mine, trying to get to the portal, trying to get to escape, they get out there to find themselves up against a block wall. No hope to sink down and die in despair. Their only hope of exit was blocked. What will it mean for sinners when the Lord comes and the door is closed and grace no more will say, yet there is room unseen when we urge upon you tonight and feed with you in the name of our God while the door is open, enter in. Enter in by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The door might close tonight. Men will seek to enter in and shall not be able. There are many experiences similar to what I've told you in the history of men. But what a horror it'll be when the door of salvation is closed and men are left to the certain judgment of God. They shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Outside that door will be men and women that will say, Lord, Lord, open unto us, while we ate and drank in thy prisons and thou taught in our streets. There are those that sat and partook of the Lord's, the emblems of the Lord's Supper, ate and drank in the presence of God. They listened to his word again and again. Thou taught in our streets. He'll say, I never knew you. Corresponding passage in Matthew chapter 7, we read that they'll say there, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart, ye workers of iniquity. Oh, we could get the solemnity of this before you tonight, unseen one, to urge you while the door is open to come, for tonight might be your last opportunity. Christ might come tonight and the door closed. Is it going to find you inside? Is it going to find you outside? Maybe some of you say, I hope I'm inside. I'm not sure. If you think you're inside, when did you enter in? Can you look back to a time when, a place where, and a matter how you entered in, everyone that's inside the door, that's the most definite event in their life, when as a lost, guilty sinner they came to Christ and entered in through that open door into God's salvation. May the Lord seek to your heart tonight, dear unsaved one, and while you may enter in and be saved, for the glory of God.